Over in chapter 10, the authors have entitled our lesson today, Delegated Authority. We looked at authentic authority, authority to forgive sins, authority's impact. And today we're going to look at delegated authority. Would you rather believe what Big Mama taught you or what the Bible says? Okay. They don't want to go against Big Mama, do they? The Word of God in Isaiah 40:8 does say, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God will stand forever. In that same Word of God, it states that it is appointed once for man to die. Mankind, that means men and women. For some of you, Big Mama has gone on, but the Word of God still stands. You can only depart to the pupil what you know for yourself. And throughout the course of this month, we have been encouraged to, first of all, know Jesus and who he is. Because if you know who he is, you know what he can do. You know the power that he possesses. You know what he has dominion and sovereignty over. You know it. We've examined authority. We've looked at it in terms of its authenticity, its impact. And now we're going to look at Jesus showing us another model of ministry. Now, a model is a pattern. In other words, it's like this. But also, every pattern, every model won't make you a dress. Well, somebody better help me. I know a little bit about tailoring. Every pattern will not make you a suit. There's a pattern for a suit and a pattern for a dress. Tell me, why in the world would you pull out a pattern for a dress if you're trying to make a suit? It does not negate the fact that a dress may not be needed, may not be wanted, but the customer requested a suit. Y'all gonna be with me this morning. We're at a time in our lives where looking to the Word of God does not mean as much as it used to. But guess what? You know it. The Word of God is our only authority. It's what we go by. It's not what somebody says, somebody interpreted, somebody perceived. It's what does God himself say about it. Authority. Jesus had authority in his early ministry. He demonstrated it right before chapter 10 in Matthew. There's a chapter 9. And in chapter 9, there's a whole bunch of healing going on. There's a whole bunch of miracles. There's a whole bunch of sign work going on. But we know from our Old Testament studies that signs were given simply to point to. Y'all didn't hear me. Who's it pointing to? Jesus. Ultimately, the signs point to Jesus. And in chapter 9, we see all these miracles, Sister Marshall, happening. And then it says, and Jesus called together these disciples, as if though he had never called them before. But he called them for a special mission. Somebody say special. Special. A special mission is not like an ordinary or general mission. A special mission is specific. You got general orders. Yeah, you go to these military folks. You got general orders and you got special orders. Okay? A general order may say, all troops will be deployed to Afghanistan. It's really specific, but I'm using it as the general. All troops shall be deployed to Afghanistan effective 1 October. But the special order to get you to Afghanistan will have your name on it and will tell you where you ought to report. Y'all gonna get it? How many of you are in contracting what the Air Force, Army, Navy, Marines, and DOD call contracting? We don't have any contracting officers? We have any contract administrators in here? Anybody ever been a contract administrator? Oh, we got some that have been. See, they wouldn't raise their hand when they, because, and you know why? They were administrators. That means they had some delegated authority from someone called a contracting officer or PCO that gave them specific instructions about how they were to carry out their duties and how they were to represent him in a particular matter. If you were a contract administrator for the C-17 logistics support contract, does not mean that you were the contract administrator for the specialized ADP acquisitions of the Air Force. You had a specific function to do as that administrator, and you did it under the authority of the one who was capable of giving you that authority. And matter of fact, your DPA, it was in writing. And guess what? It said when it was expired. Ran from one time to another time. And at midnight on the 24th, it expires. That means you can't act like that anymore. Keep that in mind as you look at today's lesson. Because here in Matthew records it, both Mark and Luke record this incident, but with a lot more brevity than Matthew did. We see the calling of these men that Jesus had been teaching, had started teaching early in his Christocentric ministry. And now, Jesus, he taught them classroom, and then he goes to the field and he shows them application. You know, he does all these miracles and he says, you know, this authority is authentic. I have authority to do this. So he calls them. Let's look at verses 1, and we'll do 2 also. And don't get hung up on the names. And don't nobody ask me, well, why is such and such name on there? All the names are there. Count 12. If you can count 12, they all there. Wait a minute. Before we even read the name, anybody want to tell me whose name is not there? Oh, okay, I didn't think you would. That's right. Y'all in Dick and Sneeze class, right? Okay. 1, 2. Read 1 and 2 for me. 12 disciples.
Power of his unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness
Go ahead. I conveyed some authority, but I wasn't specific enough. Then I said, kept reading. Example. He who gives the delegation can modify it, but you can't. Notice y'all are very obedient and stop. Because you're saying, am I on territory now? See, and that's the way it needs to be in our ministry. Christ has called you to do something, and you are to do that. It is not to get in other business. If God called you to sing, then you sang. I mean, you really sing. You know, the Lord called me. He put me right here. Y'all didn't have no choir. Y'all didn't have no piano. You didn't have any voices. So the Lord sent me. That's specific. But the Lord said, wait a minute. Since I sent you, I sent 5,000 other folks. You should have a choir. You shouldn't be up singing solo every Sunday. They got me to messing. Authority is about order, folks. You can't do ministry any kind of way. You can't do church any kind of way, because the church is a ministry. It is the churchocentric ministry age that we are in now. Christ is not here, but he has called us to do ministry. And for every name that's called there, if that's the case, only 12 folk need to do what he called them to do. And you know what? You know what I say to that? You got it. He called 12 of his disciples. Do you realize at this point there were thousands of disciples, but he called 12. By this point in his ministry, there were some Gentile converts, but he called 12 Jews to do a specific task, and he delegated that authority. It says it right there. When he had called the 12 disciples, he gave them the power. He gave them the authority. That power there talks more than just ability. The term used there is really exousia. And so they had both they were given both the ability and the responsibility, and with the backing of Christ himself to do these things. And then it lists there everything that they had power and authority over. And then it lists these men. They were all the original 12 disciples, the star pupils, if you would. Huh. Did I see Judas Iscariot's name on there? Star pupil. You know what, folks? See, Big Mama may have told you that Judas was the devil. But guess what? Jesus would never call a devil to cast out devil. Don't you think Jesus is smarter than that? If you, as you look in your time, you really want to get a study of these guys. For some of them, there's not a lot of information. But these guys, this was no model crew here. Matter of fact, these people, these 12 boys reminded me of the folk that I've met here at the Resurrection Baptist Church. Yeah, you know, one denied him, one deceived him, or betrayed him, and the others ran off and left him. Some of the same kind of folk that I've met at Resurrection Baptist Church. Stood up and swore that they were going to be loyal and true to the one true God, that they would do ministry here in the Vineyard, no matter where that took them. But when times get tight, people become people. They become people just like the 12 that are mentioned here. But look what God can do with a bunch of miscreants, a bunch of misfits. So it tells me that anybody, God can call anybody, and he calls anybody that he wants. You may not like the people that he called. Don't you think there was some brothers, number 13, number 14, who've been to every session, who heard all the sermons? They could talk like Jesus. They stretched their hands out like Jesus. They've been emulating. They've been copying Jesus all this time, but yet they weren't chosen. You know why? Because Jesus is Jesus. And don't nobody tell him what to do. He tells y'all what to do. And I think what we've had, Brother Keith, is that we've come into a time now that men and women, boys and girls, think they're bigger than Jesus. Think that, in other words, if I'm not given a ministry, I'll take me one. You know what, if I'm not given a title, I'll take me a title. Somebody say title, title, title. Oh, I'm coming at you right now. You may not have been raised this way, but this is what the word says. It says that the disciples were called, and they were called, they were named in their calling. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. In other words, he told them to go. You are commissioned. You have a special mission. And you know why I know it was a special mission? This call right here, somebody look on that list and tell me where Joe Harris's name is. Keith Edmondson, Harry Reese, Vanessa Reese, Thompson, DNCT, either one of them. What are their names on there? Tracy, Terry, where ain't your name on there? Your name is not there. You know why? Because you weren't there, and the mission was, and the mission was very specific. Y'all say, well, how can Sneed get excited about this? You know why? Because you will not believe how bombarded I was this week about this. That, folks, we're getting ready to go into the evangelism campaign. And if you get on that Facebook and keep your head away from the good book, you'll hear anything. They'll tell you, oh yeah, just like verse 5 and 6 in Matthew 10 or verse 1 through 9 is not applicable to us, they don't know what they're talking about. It is applicable to us. But it's a pattern. It's a model to show that in certain dispensation, Jesus has a mission. And you know what? He's still doing those special missions now. Jesus has not called everybody specifically to go down to Honduras the week of March 14th. He ain't called folk to do that. But yet, if some jackleg tell them that the Lord told him to, well, you go down there. The Lord, he called these guys. And Wes, come on, am I kidding? Didn't he call these guys? They didn't have to get the news from nobody else. Authority is about order, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you one thing. We're out of order. We want to do things the way we want to do it. To include church. Oh yeah, y'all know how it is. Hey, I ain't scared of y'all. No more. Oh no. My days. See, Jesus says, come here, be orderly. Here you guys, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, and I want you to say, I want you to go not the way of the... Well, could somebody really interpret that for me? Could y'all say shirts and folks in shirts? Could y'all say that? Y'all don't mind, dude. Y'all don't mind ad-libbing the scripture just a little bit. He says, don't go to the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Well, Jesus, where do you want us to go? You up here in here converting him. Ain't not much Gentiles around here. See, y'all forgot where he was. He in Capernaum. Gentile city. Whole bunch of Gentiles. And yet, he says, I need you to go. Don't go to the Gentiles, nor the Samaritans. Don't even go. And so if they're not Gentiles, see, because in that time, you didn't have all this ethnicity stuff. You're either a Gentile or a Jew. Okay? So if you're not going to the Gentiles, you're going to the Jews. But then he says, and don't go to them Samaritans. And they were half Jewish. Yeah. They were Jewish land. They were the Assyrians in captivity, had married Jews. They were Samaritans. That's why they didn't like them. They did not like them. They did not like them. I'm going to tell you right now, Jews did not like Samaritans. As a matter of fact, you know, the saying goes that if a Samaritan and a Jew were walking at midday down the street, that they would walk so that the shadow from the sun would not even be cast upon them. That's how much that, when you don't want somebody's shadow to follow on you, you don't like them. So right then and there, people now, this was for the Jews only. They try to tell you that later on Matthew is talking about. But there's a whole bunch that happens between chapter 10 and chapter 28. Jesus says you're on a special mission. That means there's a special dispensation. Now, to get into it, why? Because I know the question comes up. Why would Jesus say not to go to them? He says, but here, I want you to go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, verse 6 actually explains why he says verse 5. But you got to know. You got to know why verse 6 was stated. The last time I checked, the covenant, early covenants were established with Jews. Abraham. That covenant had not been fulfilled. Isaiah had been prophesying that the Jewish Messiah would come to Israel and be their deliverer. I expected my 102 instructor to jump in there on me. Jesus gives this further instruction in his word through the personality of Paul by saying, you know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to the what? Jew first, but also to the Greek. But see, Paul was talking about the gospel. Jesus' dispensation here was strictly kingdom. Because look at what he tells them to preach. He told them, go preach, but only not to the Gentiles, only to the Jews, only to the lost house of Israel. You know why? Because I made a promise to them. Why would you start at the top when you got something right here at the bottom? Why would you start at the end when you've got the beginning? The beginning, this covenant, when Abraham was promised that he would be the father of many nations, well, the only way that's going to happen is through the Jewish line. And so this is a model to show us how Jesus will call those who have followed him and learned of him and how they are to share. And in this dispensation, understand, because all you got to look at is what they were to preach. They didn't preach that gospel that Paul knew. They did not preach it. Verse 7. Can you imagine, if y'all think church is boring now, if you think it was boring during Noah's day, Noah had one sermon, people fell asleep for 120 years. And now Jesus, in this special dispensation, is saying to his followers, his disciples, who are now going to be called apostles, go preach, but preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not that Jesus Christ died and is raised from the dead and is now lives with his Father, sits at the right hand of the Father. You can tell them to preach that. One simple sermon. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And guess what? It's the same sermon that he preached. Ah, ding, ding, illumination. Jesus is never going to ask you to do even no more than what he has done. He says, do what I do. This is a model. When it was praying, he says, this is a good way to pray. This is a good way to teach. This is a good way to pray. Jesus was all about models and patterns because he was about teaching folk, his followers, how to execute earthly ministry, because he knew one thing. One day, he wasn't going to be around. Back up a minute. The contracting officer, when you are administering your BPA, is the CO right there? No. The last time that CO saw that contract was when he signed it. You see it every day. You know what it's all about. But you know one thing. I got the authority. Anything that's in this contract, I can execute it. But it's one thing I can't do. I can't change it. Because changes have to be done by the CO. I can recommend them. I can tell them, oh, we need to change this because this is what happened. But if the CO says, no, we're not changing that. We're not adding that. No, no, no. What you're doing is a constructive change. Stop doing it. You can stop all of that. You know why? Because the authority is delegated to you. It's not your authority. It was given to you. And for a specific purpose and for a specific time. And so this is what you say. You can't administer a contract for aircraft parts and talk about selling software products. They ain't on your contract. You don't have the authority to do that. So do exactly what he said. Oh, and it gives me not. Well, all I'm doing is administering these contract parts. Oh, all I'm doing is preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, John preached that. And as a matter of fact, is when they started this, John got in trouble. Real trouble. Because old Herod said, nah, we cutting his head off. Because now we got some other fools out here preaching the same thing. And guess what? They even got power to heal. Show me anywhere in the Bible where John the Baptist could be there, but I haven't seen it. But I haven't seen everything yet. That's why I asked the Lord, let me live just one more day so I can see a little bit more. They healed anybody. He had a special mission, a special calling, a special anointing. And that anointing, those 12 that were called and now called apostles, they were called to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and they were called to do extraordinary miracles. Heal the sick. Now, did you notice that Jesus gave them the authority to do all the things that he had been doing? Look at it. Heal the sick. For those folk, not casting an aspersion on anybody, but for you folk that are hung up on titles, you need an explanation for some of your titles. Okay? Because this was the ushering in of the apostolic age, where the apostles, they headed ministry and eventually the church after the day of Pentecost. These guys are called apostles because they were delegates. And delegates represent. These guys were called apostles. And they were given the power to heal the sick. Now, so today, if you're calling yourself an apostle, you need to go back to this particular passage here. Because let me tell you one thing. Your credentials can't be based on one element. Because I know all contracting officers, at least when I was in the Air Force West, were tall, good-looking, handsome. All of them were. You know, when I was in there, okay, when I was in there. But besides, if you read their job descriptions, they had a whole bunch of other stuff in there. So if you just pick one of them and talk about, I'm a contracting officer. I'm a contracting officer. Well, do you heal the sick? Oh, yes. I'm holding a revival now. I want you to come down to the tent. And we're going to heal some folk. Oh, I'm making light of this, but y'all know I'm telling the truth. We better stop fooling ourselves. We better stop playing church because we're out of order. Okay? Heal the sick. Build ministries on healing folk. And they travel these tents all around. The last time I checked, within a region, within a reason, within traveling times, you help me out. There are hospitals everywhere. Why do I need to pitch a tent? Well, why can't I just go into every hospital ward? I'm Apostle Sneed. I'm here to heal you. Heal. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. In a hospital. That's where the sick folk are. You got to get somebody up out of their sick bed, have them travel to your tent so you can heal them. But Jesus told the apostles to go. He didn't say bring the hospital to the apostles. He said go where sick folk are. Go where lame folk are. Go where leopards are. Matter of fact, go to the graveyard. If you're an apostle, you walk right on down there. So Uncle Walter, excuse me, but I need to get this one right here up out the grave. Folk, all it takes is a modicum of common sense to know that people will take stuff and abuse it. See, once you've been delegated a contract administrator, you can't run around and talk, act like you're a contract administrator forever. That ain't that. A warrant expired. Had one of the most powerful warrants ever given to a young buck in the wall, $3.2 billion warrant, because that's what the program was worth. Let me go over there and try to sign something now. I'll be right up there with Manafort and the rest of them boys. And see, they keeping him. And he can pay. They'll be keeping me because I can't pay the bill. Bottom line, because you're acting out of your authority. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. He said there is something coming after this, Sister Harriet. Right now, he had to deal with what was at hand. What was at hand now? The Jews had to be comforted and encouraged that the kingdom, the one that Isaiah said, who shall believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up as a tender plant and as a dry root out of and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. There's no beauty that we should. Surely he has carried our sorrow and borne our grief. Yet we have stricken him smitten of God. But he was wounded for our transgression. See, you know, and Jesus said, you go tell them that the kingdom that they've been expecting is here in the flesh. Is, will be, and is to come. That was the message of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's an awesome responsibility. Because you had to tell folk stuff you didn't really understand. But they're the star pupils. And guess what? It's no greater than our commission right now. We can't explain everything. We know he's coming back. Especially when you get that part. Well, what about when he's coming back? We don't know all that. Can't explain all that. Jesus didn't tell you to explain all that. He says, go teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father. When I ask the time, I'll tell you what that means. But right now, I got to get back to my specific assignment to tell you that the kingdom of God is at hand. And let me tell you something. So what they were to preach was kingdom business. For us, kingdom business ain't our business. No, let me say it another way. Kingdom business ain't none of your business. It ain't your business. God has given you a commission. And it was not the commission that he gave the apostles. It is very clear. And so when you run up here talking about you going to sick, Matthew 28, 19, 20, do you see anything in there about healing folk? But yet now, Sister Brown, Mr. Brown, you tell me, in Matthew 28, 18, here's what Jesus said. All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he got all that authority, and then he didn't tell me, hey, look here, you go out here, you're going to be assigned to the hospital. Wes over there, he's going to be assigned to the psychiatric ward. You're going to be assigned to, you know, we're going to clean. You, Harry over there in the cemetery, he's going to get people up out the graveyard. He didn't say that. And yet he got all authority. But notice, before the delegation of authority, there's a demonstration of authority. Notice, he did all these miracles to show you that you can do it. If I tell you, if I give you that assignment, you have the power and the authority to do it. I'll show you this in a minute. They're kicking me out. Do y'all realize we got a new landlord and they're kicking us out of our space? A home that we've owned for 23 years, they're just kicking us. But it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Provide neither gold. Please don't run and tell nobody that. Please. Provide neither gold nor silver. But JJ and Mitch know what I'm talking about. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Nor, read verse 10. Now, let me tell you one thing. I don't think you want to be an apostle because you say you can heal. Well, guess what? You need to be out there on the circuit and you don't need to be doing it for money. You don't need to be any place where there's not an offering, where there's an offering raised. See, they don't raise offerings in the hospital. You go to the hospital, you just get sick. They may give you a bill, but they don't raise offerings. You know, the doctors don't raise offerings, okay? And so that's what he's saying. People that have been given this special apostolic dispensation, they are to go, don't worry about anything, depend strictly on God. Don't worry about material possessions. Depend strictly on God. Because Jesus knew one thing. The culture was different. You out there now, you're talking about you in town, you're out here preaching, you're on a soap block. You can heal four or five folk. Now, it's 10:30. Everybody done started going home. You ain't got nowhere to sleep. You ain't got two quarters rubbing up against each other. You so broke, you can't pay attention. You think, how many folks gonna say, hey, come on home with me? That don't happen today. It used to happen. Many of us, especially those of us who grew up in the South, know that we've housed many of strangers in our house. They know nothing about these folks, but they ain't nowhere else they could stay. So they stayed in our home. Find the preacher, find the parson, and he'll make sure that you have a place to stay. Jesus says here, don't worry about that in this special dispensation. And the reason I know it's special, the reason why I know this is not for us, is because of Luke. Luke tells us, ladies and gentlemen, exactly how it will be. He changes it. He shows us the change. This is just chapter 10. And Luke is chapter 9. But you don't get what we're to do in this new dispensation in the churchocentric age until you get to Luke 22. There's some of you that have never heard that term, and y'all tired of me using it. That means sign up. Sign up today. Sign up. We'll have altar call right today. Basic Christian doctrine. Basic Christian doctrine. I'm saying. But he says, because a workman is worthy of his meat, they'll take care of you. And unto whosoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. Now that was a tough one, because now it talked about people being worthy. What that simply means, ladies and gentlemen, is that don't waste the gospel. Don't waste your time on folk who ain't gonna do right. Who gonna make a fool of you? That's all they wanna do. They don't wanna hear no gospel. There's some folk, you could take the gospel, whether it's the gospel or the kingdom of heaven is at hand, by which the gospel does contain it, and you could pour it down their mouths, and they still wouldn't get it, because it's not a physical thing. And he says, don't waste your time. There are some folk you know by your prayer. And you know, that also tells us, I tell you what that is good for us, is that, you know, everybody can't hang with you. Just, I realize you so magnanimous, you know, you smooth, you suave, you just can't understand why nobody would want to be with you. But there's certain folk you can't have in your life, because they don't mean you no good. It's simple as that. Oh, but he's such a nice, charming guy. Don't mean you're no good. Don't mean you're no good. And so it is with folk. There's some folk you have these conversations with, and you're trying to come in. You're up all on Facebook, getting all frustrated, raising your blood pressure, saying stuff that be saying, ooh, I didn't know Sister Nikita talked like that. Ooh, I didn't know Stormy was like, hey. That's just ruining your reputation. Don't deal with a fool. When you know you're talking to a fool, run. And see, the thing about it, Facebook didn't give us that opportunity to do that. Because, hey, we still plugged in. We're totally out of order. And you know what? It creeps in. Some of y'all already experienced. Y'all out of order. This is the house of God, folks. We come here to worship, not to be worshipped. You think about it. You just think about this today. You want me to be worshipped, all right? It ain't about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, this is how that you'll know that y'all are my disciples, how you love one another. And part of that love is about fellowship. And if you interrupt any element of that, while you concentrate on yourself, think about it. And when you come to a house, salute it. Respect every house. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. In other words, you keep your peace. In other words, you shut your mouth. When you know you're in a situation and you deal, it's like one of my favorite co-workers, Terry, years ago, they got saved about a year after I started at CFAN. And him and his wife, you know, the expression, the church, local assembly they were in, sale, they have to go out immediately. Now, they don't know nothing. They got two Bible verses rubbing up against each other. They ought to go to people's houses on Saturday morning. They're going to go to people's houses. Don't you realize people who are still working sleep on Saturday morning? So they went to this house. There's God blasting them. You knocking on my door. You blah, 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 expletive this, blah, blah, blah. And the wife said, oh, Lord. But they went to another house because they fired up. That house, same thing. You know, without the experts, you know, you better get out of here. The wife started crying. I'm going home. I ain't going to do this. No, baby, let's just try one more time. It went knocked on this house, and the guy said, yeah, come on in. Long story short, he was a devil worshiper. Fool. The world is hostile to the message that you have. And Jesus says you got to be discerning enough to get up out of there. You know how I know? Because he says, and whosoever shall not what? Receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. In other words, even if they invite you in, and then they're not receptive to what you got to say, he says, leave those boys alone. But guess what? He was talking specifically to the Jewish nation. Oh, y'all was like, yeah, that's right. Now, it's further on. He tells you the same thing. But in this particular case here, he says, hey, I'm going to give it to them first. I will offer it to them first. But if they reject it, you get up out of there. Life is too short for us to be worrying about the folk that are not going. Ray Brown preached a sermon here years ago, and Gerard Sampson reminded me of it again, because I'm always thinking about it. He preached, go with the goers, because you can't go with the folk that ain't going. That just makes sense. Shake it off. It's all right. Maybe another time. And remember one thing. Your word ain't the final word. And your word ain't the only word. There are folk that wouldn't listen to me. They could care less. You could go in and tell them, brother, have you ever heard of John 1:1? That in the beginning was the word. Oh, Lord, I ain't never heard that. Sneedham came, Newsom came, Brown came, you know, Harry came, all of them talking about. I ain't never heard it like that. Same word. They weren't ready. Leave them alone. Don't you lose your cool. Don't you lose your peace. Let your peace remain as you move on. And finally, truly I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of... You know what, folk? I'm no doom and gloom guy. But you know what? Sodom and Gomorrah going to smile one day. They're going to say, you know, for years, we all thought, for centuries, we always thought, God did us wrong. But you know what? What he done to them rascals down there in shirts? San Antonio, New York City? Man, that was nothing. Because that's what the Word of God says. He says, it's on them. He said, Brother Snee, you sounded convinced, but I was with you until you said that this was a special dispensation only for the Jews. Well, I tell you that it was. Luke said it. Matthew said it. Mark said it. But Brother Matthew came back, and Luke later on, and matter of fact, Luke in 22 verses 34-35 gives you that clue also. But Matthew in 28:19-20 said, "Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Mission revived. But guess when that happened? This command to go to the Jews was before Christ died. The commission to us was after Christ died and got up out of the grave. And here's what he said just before he got ready to leave. "I told you to go. I want you to teach. I want you to baptize. And I also want you to teach them how to live saved. I also want you to teach them a skill." Yeah, that's what that teaching them all things was. Jesus taught the disciples more than Jesus went up and the Lord is my salvation, whom shall I fear? Taught them things. That's why he had all those skilled folk. Financial managers, Levi. Fishermen, Simon and Peter. He had all those guys. The skit with skill sets. But then, you know what he said? "You will have power." You got a lot of skills. I like you. I'm glad you joined our church. I'm glad you've been to 301. You found that you got some skills. But guess what? You'll have power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You'll have the ability. And he says, with that ability, now, here's where I want you to go. Listen in verse 6, 5 and 6, where he told them to go, told them, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Only go to the lost house of Israel. But then he tells us and them, you shall have power, and I want you to go to Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost part. I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. All power has been given unto me. You've got the ability, and I've got all the authority, and I'm delegating that authority for you to go into all those places. And for what? See, it's still specific. Everybody think that's general. We're going to go over here, and we're going to bring aid and all of that. We're going to do this. Jesus didn't tell you to do that. He says, you're going to have the power to witness. Somebody better help me. Oh, yeah, I know hungry bellies, you know, don't listen very well, but your primary focus is to witness. Mission without the mission, mission without the gospel ain't nothing but a picnic. So, you want to have delegated authority? You want to be great? You want to be great? Because it seems like that authority makes people great. Here's how you be great. Have a commitment to the great commandment and the great commission. And that commitment to the great commandment and commission will make great churches that will produce great Christians. Want to be great? That's how you do it. So it takes evangelism. That's what we're supposed to do. Now do what you're supposed to do. He didn't ask you to go to the lost sheep of Israel. He asked you to go everywhere. You don't have a limitation. Your limitation is the world. And you're going, you don't even have to get up out of your seat to go now. So most of them say, I would go. If I had transportation, you don't need it. You can start a blog now. Reach a whole bunch of people. Oh, I know. You can go on Facebook. So I can't even say it, Doc. It chokes me up. I can't find what people so enamored. About what?
If you want to talk, you know, before, you know, we wanted to talk about something, Tony, we go down to the barber shop, we talk to Sam Ward, we go to the beauty shop, you know, we get together at Shoney's or Sea Island or Golden Corral, and, you know, for the Bougie's Kirby's, and, we get together and we just talk. Now we got to sit around and send you a text, a Twitter, a twatter, a platter of matter about nothing. And I love it. I love it. And I don't do it as much as I used to. And my friend Terrio here reminds me almost every Sunday. But you really need that fellowship where people interact and we see each other's eyes and fill our hearts. And then we won't run off on all these tantrums. Because I'm going to tell you, when people are in isolation, that's when they want something very bad. And they'll come up with all kinds of schemes. They'll come up, I'm a boss. You know, I went to the mountaintop. See, I went there every day. Terry knows he can't come back and talk about, I've been to the mountaintop. No, brother, you've been down there with me. You've been down there eating every day. You ain't been to no mountaintop. See, you can't come up with that stuff. But you ain't around nobody isolated. You can come back. I'm this. The Lord told me to do this. If it's not authenticated in the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, don't do it. This word right here, it tells you everything you need to be doing as a disciple of Christ. I'll see y'all next.